where do I fit in? How do I fit into to a church? What is it that I have that a church could use? And believe it or not, you have more than you think you do. Amen? You have more than you think you do. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would for that reason not cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that think they are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our representable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined these members of the body and has given great honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If any one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, I know that's a whole big mouthful, all right? But the Bible talks specifically about what the body is. It's made up of all kinds of beautiful parts. Have you guys ever looked under the hood of a brand new vehicle before and go, whoa, you know, this is amazing? Most, you know, when I was growing up, you could actually, like, work on a motor. You could change the spark plugs and the wires without taking it to a dealership and it costing you $500 for spark plugs. You know what I'm saying? So, and spark plugs now, I mean, my truck, I think a spark plug costs like $78 one. So if anybody want to give in to the spark plug fund, see me after church, all right? So there's so many moving parts in a vehicle. And today's technology, computers, play a big part in how those things are driven. Now, every part must function in time in order so that everything can happen the way it's supposed to, so that you can get to point A to point B, all right? But that's also assuming as well that all of the other parts are doing its job properly, right? So if you would go ahead and put that up there. That is my dream car, by the way. I changed my mind. I don't want like a spark plug fund. I want the 1967 Ford Mustang fund. That's what I want. So this thing is awesome. This is an amazing vehicle. So you could have this car, a 1967 Ford Mustang fastback. But if the motor isn't firing on all cylinders, you could be operating like a Geo Metro. Now, I will take a Geo Metro over a 1967 Ford Mustang fastback that doesn't run any day in case of emergency, so I can get to point A to point B. We used to have one of those, by the way. It was red, and I thank God that we don't have it anymore. I sold it to my brother for $300. And I said, what are you going to do with this? He goes, I just want to wreck it. Now, my brother is a big redneck, all right? So he loves to wreck stuff. And he took it into the creek, and he did just that. He got $300 worth of fun. So, but here's the thing, is that what happens is that we have this Ford Mustang that is firing on all cylinders, or sometimes it could be to the point where one of the cylinders are busted because of a gasket or because of a little thing that just ransacks the entire motor. Everything has to be firing the way in time and in order. Have you guys ever had a car that was, or a truck that was out of time? It didn't run properly. It wouldn't go the way it was supposed to go. And what we had was, instead of a Ford F-250 Super Duty, we had one of these things right here, because it wouldn't fire on all cylinders. And to be honest with you, most churches operate this way. They operate in a Geo Metro style rather than a 67 Ford Mustang fastback style. And the reason why is because not all of the members are doing their jobs. Not all of the members know what they're here for. Now, I don't believe that it's because members are lazy or that they're unconcerned about the ministry, but what I believe happens more times than not is that they don't know where they fit in. Just like what you see in this graphic here. And what happens is that when you see yourself and what God is capable of doing through you, there's nothing that you can't do. Amen? How many of you guys have ever heard of the 80-20 principle? There's 80% of the people that are not doing anything and 20% are doing all the rest of it. We wonder how all this stuff gets done. I heard an evangelist one time years ago. He said, listen, if a ministry isn't working, kill it. Don't kill the good folks. We at New Freedom Church, we need your effort. Every single person that is involved or that it comes to New Freedom Church has a place. God has fitted you right where He needs you to be. We all have a job to play. Now, I want you to look at verse 12 with me. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now, the body is a unit, meaning made up of many diverse parts. The church isn't like a khaki and plain. It's not khaki or plain, but rather a kaleidoscope of many colors coming together to reflect God's glory together. Amen? Verse 12, look at it. Though all its parts are many, they form one body. Each part doesn't operate independently from itself or on its own. That makes it no good. And if that happens, it's a chain reaction. It's a chain reaction of a vehicle falling apart and not running correctly. Now, verse 13, it says this, for we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were given one Spirit to drink. I want to demonstrate to you what I mean by this. I think it was last Christmas. Bijou and Sarah, didn't you guys do the outreach at the community center in Schwabenon? Bijou calls me up and says, hey, listen, I want you to come to this outreach we're doing. I've got a lot of Hindu friends, and they're away from home, and so this is Christmas time, and we want to share the Christmas story. I want you to come and check it out. So I was like, okay. I said, how many are you going to have? He said, I don't know, 15 or so. Got there was 50 probably. And I got in there, and the first thing that I recognized was the smell of food. How many of you guys have eaten Indian food before? That was my first time. And I'm not talking about a restaurant. I'm talking about authentic, putting love in that food, Indian food. It was good. And so they had one of their friends walk me through the line and show me what everything was. And so I just put it all on my plate. I just put every bit of it on my plate. And so I tested this out, didn't like that. But most of it was phenomenal. It was so good. And I sat back and I watched Bijou and Sarah do their thing, and they got up and they sang a couple of Christmas songs, and they did the Christmas story with a box, a cardboard box, and used their daughters as props, and a doll for Jesus, right? Isn't that right? And they shared the Christmas story to all of their friends that had never even heard it before. And they used what they had to spread the good news of Jesus. Went to Philippa's house and Gus's house for dinner one time. And if you've never been over Philippa and Gus's house to go eat, you need to go, all right? Now, she says, don't call, just come. You may want to call, all right, in case you guys, there's a line out the door. But you sit down, and we had this wonderful meal that was made by her, and she just filled my plate up till it was almost overflowing. I love that. I don't eat like a bird, in case you haven't noticed. I like to eat. And so she invited us over, and you know, normally you're contemplating, okay, I don't want to make them think that I can eat my weight. And so no, that's not me. I eat, all right? So if you invite me over, we're going to eat. And so what happens is that I think I'm making a dent in my plate. And as soon as I think I'm making a dent in my plate with the food, here comes Philippa with more food on the plate. He go, Pastor. And also got to marry her daughter and their new son-in-law this summer. And they wanted to put also into the marriage ceremony some traditional things from their culture. And so I started reading up on some of these things, so with the knots and the ropes and the money and so forth. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful display of love that day. And the different cultures and the different types of people. Church, I'm not here to make you like me. I'm here to make you like him and to have your gifts realized in your life so that you can be productive in the kingdom of God. Amen? Because once you understand who you are in Christ Jesus and that you have value and that you have worth, there's nothing that you cannot do. Amen? God can use trembling lips just as much as he can use an orator's lips. He can use what you have for the glory of God if you allow him to use you in your life. Amen? Now, verse 14 through 20, this mainly addresses those who feel their gifts are inferior, are unimportant. You know, the bottom line is, you have an assignment, church. You have been ordained. You have been set apart. You have been arranged in the body for a reason. Man didn't ordain you, God did. Amen? Verse 18, let's look at it together. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Let me say that again. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. He has ordained you. He has set you apart. He has put a purpose in your life. Everything that you've been through in your life can be used for the glory of God if you're willing to allow him to use you. Amen? Don't despise the small things in your life. Don't despise the hurt in your life. God can use that abandonment that you have felt all of your life to the glory of God. God can use the disappointment, the struggles, the hurt, the bereavement in your life for the glory of God if you will allow him to. See, God doesn't just like using the good parts of you, the parts that shine, your greatest of gifts, but God shines the most in the weak parts of your life. Why? Because he gets the glory in that. Because he shines the most in our weakness. See, we have it all backwards. We think that, man, I've got to get it together. I've got to hone these skills. I've got to hone these abilities. We were talking at small group the other night, and Jeff races car. Both of them, they're both race car drivers. And they got these awesome cars, and Jeff was going, man, I just want to do something to get the word out about New Freedom. And so I was thinking about putting a logo on my race car. What do you think, Pastor? I'm like, praise God, let's do this thing. Let's do it. Or whatever it may be that in your life that you can use for the glory of God, use it. Use it. Ask God, Lord, what is it about me that you can use so that you can be glorified in my life? Because God works the best in our weakness. Not whenever we're all shined up and polished up. I just bought this outfit like, I don't know, 3 days ago, and God doesn't just necessarily use me when I'm all shined up on Sunday mornings, but God tends to use me when I'm frustrated, when my hair's all going to the right, or at my sickest, or at my weakest. God tends to use me in those parts of my life too. We got to understand that God's not requiring perfection; He's requiring obedience in our life. Amen. He wants obedience. Are we willing to allow Him to use the lesser parts of me in order that He may be glorified? God, I've hid this for a long time, and you've forgiven me. You've forgiven me. You've healed me. But I didn't want to speak of it. I didn't want to make mention of it because it hurt so bad or because I was embarrassed about it. And those are the very things that God wants to use in your life. He wants to put those things on display. Because see, what happens is the devil loves to keep those things in the darkness so that shame can be the nails in the coffin for us, right? Because the devil loves to use shame and remorse and hurt to keep it in the darkness. When God wants to expose it, He wants to bring it into the light and get the glory out of it so that we can use it for His name. Amen? But here's the thing. Some of you today are blowing your assignment. Your gift isn't unimportant. You are needed. Listen again to the scripture. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them. What does that mean? It means you fit in. You belong. Engage where God has placed you and function in it. Amen? Engage where you are and function in it. Every one of us. Listen, you didn't arrange yourself. You didn't have those gifts just because you're good. You are not who you are because of something that you have done. God has arranged you. He has placed His Spirit in you. He has called you to this place for a specific reason, for such a time as this, and we do not need to blow our assignment. Amen? Trying to put this into a picture is, I was thinking, you know, of course my mind always goes to sports. But you think of football. You think of how on offense, the receiver's running down the field and the quarterback throws it. And there's nobody near this receiver for 30 yards. Somebody blew their assignment on defense, didn't they? There's no reason for that person to be open with nobody around him for 30 yards. Somebody blew their assignment. And in the church, it's the same way. We can't function on all cylinders until you are functioning on your own to the glory of God. Amen? Until you get to a place to where you say, Lord, if you can use me, here are my trembling hands. Here is that place in my life that I've held in the darkness for so long. I want to bring it into the light so that you can heal it and use it for the glory of God. Amen? Now, verse 26 or 21 through 26 tells us that no one can say, I don't need you. Every one of you, listen closely to what your pastor is saying this morning. You are needed. You have value. Stop complaining about your gift and start using it. Amen? Stop coveting what you don't have and what someone else has in their life and start using what you have. Don't despise the small things. God loves that. He loves the small things. He loves it when people say, I am disqualified. I'm disqualified. Do you know that it's God who qualifies you, not me? It's God who qualifies you. You have a place and you have a function here in this church, in the body of Christ, but the only thing standing in your way is you. I can never say to you, I don't need you. We have a place for you in the body, amen? We have over 106,000, 8,000 people here in the greater Green Bay area that need to know the Savior who is Jesus, amen? I can't reach them all, but with your help, we can put a big dent in it, amen? With your story, with your experience, with you firing on all cylinders, with you sharing the gospel as people come to you and ask, what is so different about your life? Why are you not freaking out when you should be cursing God? What's going on? Well, let me tell you what happened to me in church the other day. I came in wounded. I came in hurting. I responded to the word of God, and God healed me. Now, I can't explain it. I can only show you what is happening to me. And what you see is Him working in my life. You see, I'm not so much interested about making New Freedom Church known as I am about making Him known. I don't want to ever be guilty of talking more about my church than I am about Jesus. Amen? Listen to me. I'm proud of New Freedom Church. I'm proud of what God is doing here. But man, I tell you, I am so much more prouder of what Jesus has done in my life. You are a professional at your story. Do you know that? No one can tell your story like you because you lived it. No one can write a greater book about your story than you. No one can tell a story about how you faced an impossible situation and you prayed and you said, Father, I'm scared to death, but I'm trusting you in this situation, so I'm going to release my hand and allow you to do your work. And God did it. And to the glory of God, I'm telling you that I was right where you were at, and God will do the same thing that He did for me to you, because He's no respecter of persons. You see, everybody plays a part in this thing. The Bible says, is everyone an apostle? Is everyone a deacon? Is everyone a prophet? No. Does everyone speak in tongues? No. Does everyone do this or that? No. But everybody has their own place and their own part. And if you want to be involved, God has done something in your life, if there's something we're missing, and you say, Pastor, well, what about this? I'll say, yes, I love that. Let's talk about that. But get involved. Find out what it is that God wants to do in your life and get moving. Amen? Get moving. I remember reading a story about a lady. She had just gotten saved, and she wasn't highly gifted. She wasn't highly talented. She wasn't known really in the community. And she was asking the Lord, Lord, what can I do? I feel like I don't have anything to offer. And her daughter got sick. She was an adult. She went to the hospital to see her. And she was walking through the maternity ward, and she noticed all these preemie babies. It was lots of them. And her heart just melted. And she went up to the head nurse, and she says, how do you hold all these babies? How do you attend to all these babies? And she said, well, we do the best we can to meet their physical needs, their medical needs, but we don't always get to hold them because we're so busy meeting the physical needs of these babies. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to her and said this, "Will you be my arms? Will you be willing to be my arms?" She began to cry right in front of that nurse. And she said, "What does it take to be a volunteer here?" And through a course of events and paperwork and background checks and all these different things, she went into that maternity ward every day, and she held every single baby. She prayed over every single one of them, and she was the hand of Jesus, the arms of Jesus. Another elderly lady that was, you know, looking forward to the golden years of her life and not just trying to have some peace in her life, and was wondering, you know, God, even though that I'm reaching into my golden years, what is it that I can do? Physically I can't do what I used to could do, but Lord, what is it that I can do? I still want to do something. And she heard about this cancer ward. And she went into the cancer ward, and she started talking to the director, and she said, "What are the needs here? What can I do? Is there anything I can do?" And she said, "Well, it's wintertime, and a lot of the patients complain because their heads are cold because they have no hair." And she loved to crochet. And so she started making these hats for people. And then what happened was that people loved them so much, the demand for these things was so great that she was overwhelmed. So what she did is she went into her small group at her church and said, "Listen, everybody that can crochet, I want you to make a hat. We're gonna make hats for these people." And so a dozen of them got together once a week, and they crocheted hats. And they put them on, and they gave them to the patients, asked them, and ministered to them in that way. You see, what happens is, church, is that we get so caught up in, "Man, I wish I could sing. Man, I wish I could play an instrument. Man, I wish I could preach. I wish I could, you know, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do..." And what we do is we neglect the very gifts and talents that God has already put in our life. What you do is just as important as what I do. Amen? I tell people all the time, and I'll tell it to the volunteers next Sunday, is this, that if one soul is won to Christ in this church, it's not just my victory, but you played a part in it as well. "Well, Pastor, I cleaned the church this weekend." Yes, you did, and they didn't complain about it either. They didn't sit around and go, "Wow, this is a filthy church. I can't believe this." No, their mind was focused in on the Word of God. And because of it, you play a part in it. You play a part in every single thing that is said and done here in this church. When there's a win for the church, it's a win for everybody. And all glory goes to the Lord. Amen? All glory goes to the Lord. Verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you are a part of it." I love how Paul addresses people specifically. Now, he was talking to the Corinthians church, but he also talked to each of us individually as well. I've been talking about how God is leading this church, our church, to a place it has never been before, and we cannot get there under the power of a Geo Metro. We've got to be functioning on all cylinders. We are going to be, Randy Bone is going to be leading up a prayer ministry coming up in November the 12th, right here on Wednesday night, starting at 6:30. We have child care that's going to be provided. We're going to come in. There's going to be 6 weeks of targeted teaching on intercessory prayer. And then for 30 minutes, and the next 30 minutes is going to be focused in on praying for our community, for our leaders, and God's going to get the glory. He's going to take us to that next place that we need to go. But it doesn't happen magically. I have no magic wand. I told you whenever I first came here that I don't want you behind me in the back. I want you beside me, arm linked together. Amen? Arm linked together, doing the work of the ministry. That's how God gets the glory, and that's how people are won to Christ. Not because of good preaching, but because of you doing your job. Amen? What I want to do is I have a video, and I want to show that, and then we're gonna pray and end the service. But right now I want you to go ahead and play that video. Pay attention to the screens. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, though all its parts are many, they form one body. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I want to encourage you today. If you feel as though you have nothing to offer, you're in a good spot. Because God can use you right where you are. And he can use you for his glory if you allow him. See, that's the problem, is that we tend not to allow him because we don't want to deal with it. And I want to encourage you to seek after God and what it is that he wants from your life. Because a believer that knows his place, knows his God, and knows what he's been placed on this earth for is a powerful, unstoppable individual. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. Let's all bow our heads. God is also speaking not only to the church, but he speaks to people he speaks to sinners as well. Those that are without Christ. And he calls them to himself. He longs for you. The Bible paints a picture of Jesus. And he's standing on a high place and he's looking down over the city. And he said, "Oh, Israel, how I long to cuddle you like a hen cuddles her chicks. But you would not let me. And today, if you hear his voice speaking to you, you know that you're apart from God. God is calling you to himself. He's saying, repent, come to me, follow me, and I'll make your life more majestic. I'll make your life more meaningful than it ever has before. Today, if you're here today, and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. He has placed you here for a reason, and that is to hear his word and to respond to his spirit. Today, if you want to accept Christ, if you want to repent of your sin, that's what separates us from the Lord. It's not mistakes. It's not trouble. It's not accidents. It's called sin, S-I-N. It's what separates us from God. And today, you can be reconciled to him by saying, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. I receive you into my life as Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you. Help me to be a part of your body. Clean me up, Lord. I've done my best and it's not enough. I need you. If that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand with nobody looking. Raise your hand and let me see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, man, I've got hurts in my life, but I know that I'm called here. And I want to function in the body of Christ. I want God to use me. I want to repent for despising the small things in my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Today, I want to be a part of the body of Christ. I want to be a part of it. I want to function in it. I want to be part of that piston that drives what's going on. I want God to get the glory out of my life. I want to see people come to Christ through my story. If that's you, just raise your hands. That's me, Pastor. I want that in my life. Yes. As I'm praying, I want you to pray along with me, but this is it. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we repent for despising what you have given us in our life. We repent, Father, for making those things nothing. And God, today, I repent of that. And I say, Lord, if there is anything in my life that you can use, nothing is off limits to you. I offer up to you my finances. I offer up to you my job. I offer up to you what talent I have. All for the glory of God. Lord, I offer up to you. Abandonment just keeps coming up in my mind. If you're struggling with abandonment today, maybe I don't know if you've been adopted or what the scenario may be, or maybe your husband or wife, whatever the situation, they've left or whatever it is, I just keep hearing that abandonment over and over in my spirit. If you lift that up before God, He's going to heal you. I'm just going to give that a little time this morning. That's a deep one. And God wouldn't be calling that out if He wasn't ready to heal that. If that's you, I want you to receive His healing this morning. I want you to receive His acceptance of you, because you are enough. You please the heart of God. He can bring healing to your soul this morning. I just want you to receive that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would begin to heal and mend the deep wounds that are within this congregation and in individuals' lives. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would go into the deep places of their heart, into their soul and spirit and mind. God, begin to bring healing and wholeness again into their lives in Jesus' name. I thank you for repairing those deep places in order that you may get the glory, in order that we may live an overcoming life that glorifies your name. Because I want my life to bring glory to you and not attention to me. All of you and less of me. In the name of Jesus. Father, I uplift not only the individuals, but I lift up New Freedom Church to you. God, the plans that we have are plans that have been ordered of you. And because of that, we're going to need your Holy Spirit to get us where you have called us to go. Because you have extended us outside of our borders. And because of that, Father, we're going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn how to intercede. We're going to learn how to call heaven down. We're going to learn how to pray healing. We're going to learn how to pray over our city, how to pray over our loved ones, how to pray restoration. Because without prayer, none of it is possible. And so, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus with our hands. If you feel comfortable this morning, I just want you to raise your hands. And this is just a surrender and saying, Father, whatever it is in my life that you can absolutely use, I give you full authority to use it in my life. I give you my heart, and everything that it is me, I give to you so that you can get the glory. Use me in my school. Use me around my classmates. Use me at home. Use me in impossible situations. I give you my life, and I surrender to you today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, God can use prayer like that. He can use people who are willing to give up their lives for the cause of Christ. Amen. What I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to have some of the prayer warriors to come forward, some of the board and their wives as well. So you can come forward. If you need prayer concerning anything in your life, they're going to be over here and over here. If there's something that you prayed, if you accepted Christ today, let this be your first step coming and telling somebody about it. Amen. If you need prayer about fear over being part of the body of Christ and serving, come and allow God to build you up and encourage you. Amen. Amen. Rob and Christy, if you come up as well, help pray. Other than that, listen, I want you to, you guys are dismissed, and just please respect those who are coming forward to pray. You guys hang out with one another, connect with one another, shake hands with people you haven't shook hands with before. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.